Blog Talk Radio.
Our loving Father.
I want to give God thanks and praise for a safe traveling mercy and getting me here, praise God, on time. I had to play a few songs, but thanks be to God that he has blessed us to get us here safely. And also, I just want to pray and lift up the prayer line and the word of God for this evening. So let us pray, brothers and sisters. Our Father, which art in heaven, Father, we come to you to thank you and to praise you tonight. Once again, we come in to join together the worship and the prayers and the just blessings for tonight, Lord. We ask him for the Holy Spirit to fall on us, Lord, and to bless us tonight. We ask him for our Father, our Savior, to be with us on this prayer line, teaching us, leading and guiding us, Father, and even, Father, blessing your children that they may come also to serve you and to give you praise. Father, with their testimonies, with their reading, scripture reading, the songs, all these blessings, Father, that we can enjoy from you, Lord. Because, Lord, when we get to heaven, Lord, what would it be? It's going to be songs. It's going to be telling us about the word of God. Oh, Father, thank you for your blessing. So now, Lord, as we pray, Father, asking you, Father, to give each and everyone on this prayer line a testimony, a praise in their heart that they may show forth your glory and what you have done for us. So we thank you, Father. Thank you for this prayer line. Thank you for all what you have done, keeping this prayer line for the years that we have been on it. And also we just thank you, Father, for one another on this prayer line, that we can come together and fellowship and worship. So thank you once again. Bless this prayer line. Bless each and everyone that joined, and especially the speaker, Father. Give the speaker words, Lord, that we should know you. So Heavenly Father, I thank you once again. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, amen. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to welcome you to Advent Light Ministry, asking each and every one to please share what God has done for you this week. I know he's blessed you because you are here today and you are here speaking on the line. And I know that God is so good that we can just share on this line and talk of his goodness. So thank you so much for being on this line, taking your time. You could be somewhere else, but taking your time to come to worship with us on the prayer line. So thank you once again. And we're going to, Sister Brenda was supposed to read the scripture. So let me just text her because I'm just getting home. I called her earlier. So I don't know what time she, I didn't give her a time. So Sorry about that, sisters and brothers, but I will text I will take Sister Brenda, and she's going to bring the reading for us tonight. And Sister Power, I believe that Sister Power, Sister Power is on with us, brothers and sisters. Well, Sister Power is just you and I right now, by the way. But Sister Tamika will give us a song. Sister Brenda will give us the reading. And Sister Power, I'm asking you, please, to give us a prayer before the minister, before our speaker come on, and lift up the prayers for others. And also, brothers and sisters, I would just share just a short scripture before Sister Brenda give her scripture based on we are sharing the love of God and how we should be searching and reading his word. And let me see. I wanted to take that. I have had so many scriptures that we've been studying from. So I would like to take it from 1 Corinthians chapter, and I'm gonna start with verse eight. And it says, "Who shall also confirm unto the end that ye may be blameless in that day of our Lord Jesus Christ? God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto fellowship, the Son of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I beseech you, brother, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no division among you, but that ye be perfect, joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment." So, sisters and brothers, I just thank God for his word that he said that we should be the same mind. That's unity. And it's such a blessing that Advent Light Ministry have come together and blessed of the Lord, and that we are able to do that. So we are asking our sisters and brothers, please press 1, because Sister Leola don't want to be the only one talking, but there has been no one to join us yet. So I will continually to share. So we are asking you to press 1, and we will open your line. Amen. Amen. Yes, we're going to open the line for 518-951. Your line is open.
Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
Yes, my dear. Yes, my dear beloved brothers and sister, God is good. He's so great. This is Sister, as we are waiting, because we are actually waiting on this scripture reading. I will just read this scripture, my dear brother and sister, in 2 Peter, verse 1 to 12, right? 12 chapter. "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ had shown me. Moreover, I will be endeavor that you may be able after my decrease to have these things already in remembrance." I will stop there. My dear beloved brothers and sisters on this line, thank God for God's words. God is telling us that we must not be negligent in carrying out the present truth. And what is the present truth? As he said, there are many precious truths in the Bible, but what the flock need now is present truth. So I'm grateful,
amen,
and thankful that we can come to sit at his table, that we can carry out the present truth for this time. And the present truth is quite a few of them. The state of the dead, we have to be, we have to come to that agreement that we know that the dead know nothing, right? He cannot walk, he cannot breathe, he cannot do nothing. The dead know nothing. And also another present too, that we have to carry out is the sanctuary message. What Jesus is doing in the holy sanctuary in heaven, right? Investigated judgment there. He is judging the world at this time, Lord. And also we have to know that the present truth message that Jesus is coming soon. And every eye shall behold him, and every tongue shall confess that he is Jesus. And I will just stop there because we want everyone to share. God is so good. I'm so grateful for this message. And I thank God that he is able to allow us to be obedient to carry out this message. So there are many precious messages. But if it's not the present message for this time, the Lord said the flock need the truth. As he said in his word, I love to hear when my children settle in the truth. So let us continue to settle in the truth, and let us continue to carry the truth to the dying world. Thank you, Sister Leola. I am not keeping up the time. I will come back again. God is good. He's so great. Continue to pray for us on this line. Our brothers and our sisters, our family, and our neighbors, our pastors and the leaders, those in Ukraine and in other parts of the whole world where we are having war at this time. Thank you, Sister Leona. God bless.
Amen, amen. And I just want to mention, as Sister Power continued to bring us present truth, sisters and brothers, we want to be able to write these things down. We're going to write it down, and we're going to repeat this, because as we repeat what present truth is, my sisters and brothers will get it, that this present truth that we supposed to know, and you're going to know without a shadow of a doubt, which you should go and teach someone. So, Sister Power, say that once again. Say it once again, present truth. Give it to us once again, Sister Powell.
My dear beloved, are many precious truths, right? It said, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always to remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in the tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in a remembrance. So some of the present truth that we supposed to be establishing is to know that the second coming of Jesus is near. The next one, we should be able to share with others about the state of the dead, because we know that the enemy is working right now, bringing loved ones to evil Christians and letting them know that their loved ones come to them, dream to them, tell them things. And the Lord is telling, the word told us that the dead know nothing. Another present truth that we are supposed to be sharing, a lot of people do not believe that in this, the heavenly sanctuary, that Christ is in the most holy place in the heavenly sanctuary from the 20th of October, 1844. And he is there. What his work is? Investigated judgment. The book have been opened, and he have been judging the dead. Right? First, right? And then he will come on us. That is one I present to. The next present truth is the National Sunday Law. Are we in the National Sunday Law now? Are we? No. The National Sunday Law is when it becomes law of the land that we are supposed to worship the false Sabbath Sunday and do not think about God created Sabbath that he have given unto us, right? So these are some of them. And there are many, many more. Present true message for us, right? The everlasting gospel in Revelation 14:6-12, right? The three angel messages for us to go out with the gospel message to preach to the world. People tell them, you know, what is coming up and what is not supposed to be, people supposed to be thinking or doing at this time. So these are some of the presidential message that, you know, some people out there don't know about Jesus in the heavenly sanctuary. They know, don't know that the dead is not in heaven with Jesus, right? They don't know that. They don't know that the mark of the beast is not 666, is going to happen as a tattoo, as the virus and all these things. So all these things is in the word of God that we are supposed to establish in so that we can go out and tell others. So day by day, minute by minute is in the word. We're going to study this word, and then when we study it, ask the Lord for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that we will be able to carry this message to share to the dying world. Okay? Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Powell. This is very important to us, brothers and sisters. I don't know if you have written them down, but we will repeat it till you be able to get everyone, especially this most important ones. And as Sister Powell has brought this to our attention again tonight, we gonna be studying these things one subject at a time. So you always, and we're going to make sure that this subject is the subject, it's one of these present truths. So please be patient, as God has called us to do, to study his word, and to, because you know what 2 Timothy says, all scriptures is given to us for correction, reproof, instruction. These are the things that we're going to look at. So I want to thank you all for joining us once again, and I want to welcome you that coming on to Advent Light Ministry, because we know there's a place. You could be anywhere, but you are here tonight to worship. And God sees the heart, and he knows just what we need. So we're going to go to the next caller, and that will be Sister Brenda. Sister Brenda will bring our reading, and we're going to open her line. Thank you so much, Sister Powell, for bringing that information to us. And by God's grace, sisters and brothers, we got a little order, and we got some that will be, we have some that will be sharing the message. They will be involved, okay? So we're going to have Sister Brenda going to read the scripture. Now, be patient with her, because this is probably a new scripture. So as she reads, just listen carefully. We're going to open her line. 985-232. Take your time and you can read it. And I know the words may be a little difficult, but we know you can do it. Amen. And we just pray that the Lord is leading. So you can read, Sister Brenda. That is 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse you can
11.
Actually start at verse 10. Start
okay.
At verse 10.
But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit search all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man know the things of a man save the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of good know no man but the Spirit of God. 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the word, spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teach, but which the Holy Spirit teach, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14. But the natural man receive not the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because they discern. 15. But he that is spiritually judged all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Verse 16. Hold on, my verse is stuck. I got it. Verse 16. For whom had known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. Amen.
And Sister Brenda, thank you for that reading. We're going to come back to you, and you can give your prayer request. And we have a three-minute window for everybody to share. Now, you did the reading, and we're going to come back to you so you can share. And we want to thank God for you reading that scripture, because as God wants us to understand his word, and he's telling us the things that he said, for God had revealed unto us his spirit. So you see, when he revealed that unto us, we have to have the spirit of God to understand these things. So by reading all this and studying it, God will open up your understanding. You see, brothers and sisters, the word of God is simple if we just take him at his word, study it. You know, studying it is not just reading and just one time read it and not study it, pray, study it again, go seek out some spirit of prophecy. All these things, God said, if you would do it, for the last verse said, for who had known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him, but we have the mind of Christ. And to have the mind of Christ, guess what? He will not leave you without his word. He will reveal it to you. So thank you, Sister Brenda. As you read that, God will bless you to understand every word. Amen. Thank you once again, Sister Brenda. We're going to the next caller. So, brothers and sisters, as we are here on Advent Light Ministry, we are giving God the praise because his Holy Spirit teach us and give us wisdom and understanding. Thank you. So now, sisters and brothers, we will open the next line for 272. 272, your line is open. Amen. 272-770, your line is open. Now,
amen.
You can share your,
you,
and this is what we want to do, share your, you can share your testimony. And later, when I call for you, Sister Tamika, you can open up the song just before Sister Power pray. Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
So you can share that.
Okay, thank you so much. I thank and praise the Lord for another precious day of life. I thank him for waking me up this morning in my right mind. I thank him for breath of life, and I thank him for my family, my children, and my grandchildren. I'm so grateful for this prayer line that I'm able to come on the prayer line and share my testimony, to share everything, and it's such a blessing. And I just wanted to share with you something from my past. I don't know if the prayer line knows, I used to be a Jehovah's Witness all my life, born and raised. And I met Sister Elizabeth at Amazon when I left New York. I moved here over to Pennsylvania, and I met Sister Elizabeth, who was a Seventh-day Adventist, and she said, you know, you're worshiping on the wrong day. I said, no, I go to the kingdom all and worship Jehovah God. So she said, yeah, well, let me show you in the Bible. So she took me to Exodus chapter 20, verse 8, and it says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And she said, the reason why it says remember is because she knew God's people would forget. So if God knew these things ahead of time, and this is a command, we should be keeping this commandment. It's the fourth commandment. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And then she showed me the calendar, and she told me to count down. And when you get to the seventh day, what day is it? And I said, okay. So I got the calendar and I counted down, and it was Saturday. And I said, wow, No one ever told me this before, Elizabeth. And then she went a step further and took me to the Webster's Dictionary. And if you look in the Webster's Dictionary, it says that Saturday is the seventh day. So I didn't know all of this, and no one has never told me before. And I was just so grateful. So she started studying the Bible with me, taking me to her church, the Seventh-day Adventist Church out here in Pennsylvania, Pocono Grace. So it was such a blessing that not long after, 2 years later, I finally got baptized, and I became a Seventh-day Adventist June 1st of 2019. And I just say, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord that I know now what I'm supposed to be doing. And I know that I'm supposed to be worshiping on the seventh day. So I am so grateful that I now have the Sabbath day in my life, and I'm able to spend time with the Lord and rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen,
amen.
My sister.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen, sister. Don't you know many of us on the prayer line was come in through a family member or through someone, and we once we were the only one Seventh-day Adventist. I was the only one. It was the same. So many people. And that's why we are telling you, just hold on, because you are that example for your family now. Because Sister Leola came in. She was the only one seeking and asking the Lord about his Sabbath. Now, Sister LaCole is seventh day. Brother Ray, Brother Jarvis was seventh day. The grandchildren, they know now. So, but you know what? And many others know. Even my sister that passed, she rejected. But guess what? Many of them know. So, sister, God going to use you. So, praise God. We are so thrilled. We are so happy. Sister
Amen.
Power,
praise
are you
the
happy?
Lord.
Sister Power, happy. Sister Carla, happy. Sister Brenda, happy to have you, sister. Sister Brenda was studying with Jehovah Witnesses. Yes, Sister
Amen.
Brenda, she studied with them for a long time. I studied
Amen.
With them. So it's not God have his people to do this work, and that's why he want us to be faithful and to go out there and share that gospel, because you never know. But you know what the Bible says? The harvest is plenty, but the labors are few. Have mercy.
Amen.
Let me let Sister Powell give praise. Let me let Sister Powell give a praise to your testimony. Sister Powell, how you want to give a praise to that testimony? Do you would like to give a praise? She's still on.
My dear beloved brothers and sisters on the line, God is good. I have to praise him, especially when I join with my brother, fellow brother and sister, to hear, you know, when I heard all these wonderful blessings and how God have used an individual to draw them closer to the Lord. It brings joy in my heart, and I am so grateful to be a part of this family. This Advent family is, I'm telling you, you never find the peace that, you know, we have in his word, the word of truth. And for me, I can say at my age now, I am not looking forward for nothing but beside looking to the word of God and to be obedient with true Israel, with Israel and what he is doing, so that I can proclaim this gospel truth to the dying world. People out there, my dear beloved brothers and sisters, and they want to hear, but they want to see us, you know. And the Lord said, by their fruit you shall know them. So let us continue to be faithful, you know. Let us be faithful, and especially to show the light, honest, just like Jesus. We were reading the other day about Moses, and Moses' life was an extraordinary life. You know, even from a babe, we saw all the things that he has gone through, but he was faithful. He was humble. He was precious. He was loving. He was kind. He was tender-hearted, and he was ready to listen to his stepfather, what, his father-in-law Jethro, when Jethro came to him and said to him, the work is too much for you. Let you join a call group. We group it out, organize it with grouping. And, you know, he accepts that call. He accepts that message. And the work was much lighter. So we have a work, brothers and sisters. Every one of us on this line. Brother, you know, Sister Brenda, Brother John, Sister Leola,
yes.
Sister Carla, Sister Tamiko, every one of us have a work to do, but help us that we will shine the light, be obedient to the Lord, because the Lord is calling the righteous, right? Not half righteous, the righteous. You want us to be righteous, you know, so that we will able to finish his work. Lord, I just want to thank you, my dear beloved brothers and sisters on the line, as a family on the line. So I just want to thank for everything. Thank God for everything. Thank God for my children. Lord, I want to thank God for the project that we have, not just the Power Project, the project that we all are sharing. And I'm telling you, we're getting some wonderful news, you know, how the work have been carrying out, and God have been blessing. So let us continue to be faithful. Thanks.
Thank you, Sister Powell. Brothers and sisters, Sister Tamiko, we hear how you've been so blessed. And you know, Brother John and Sister Brenda testify of it all the time. They, too, has been blessed on this prayer line. And I'm grateful. Don't you know how grateful we strive, Sister Carla, Sister Powell, Brother Rick, and myself, we strive to keep this line afloat, because you know why? This is Jesus. This is his work. This is his work that we are doing. Nothing of our own. This is his blessing. So we thank you once again, Sister Tamiko. We're so happy to have you here. We love you, and we appreciate your all of your songs and your testimonies, everything you bring to this prayer line. Thank you. So we're going to go to the next caller because we have others done press one. So we're going to open the next line, 423-635. Your line is open. Amen?
And you can begin. Amen. First of all, thank you for opening up my line, Sister Leola. That was beautiful testimony, Sister Tamiko. Yes, I just want to praise the Lord, you know, for the seed that was planted, you know, and it, and as we see, it fostered and it grew. And, you know, you are here because of a seed that's been planted. And each and every one of us are here because of a seed that was planted. And the work that we have to do is tell others about Jesus, bring others to the truth and to the message so that they can be blessed. So praise the Lord. And I just want to share a quick reading. It's from last day's event, and it says, the divine ideal. Although everything God has made was in the perfection of beauty, and there seems nothing wanted upon the earth which God has created to make Adam and Eve happy, yet he manifested his great love to them by planting a garden especially for them. A portion of their home was to be occupied in the happy employment of dressing the garden, and a portion in receiving the visits of angels, listening to their instruction, and in happy meditation, their labor was not wearisome, but pleasant and invigorating. This beautiful garden was to be their home, their special residence. And I just, for this reading, just this morning, I was, you know, out watering the plants in the garden and just talking to the Lord, talking to the angels, asking for strength to, you know, water all these trees. They're not close together. Everything is spaced out, and it was an exercise. And sometimes it can be tedious, but I just have to be reminded, and this is the time the angels, you know, come and visit, and they'll strengthen each and every one of us, and to get out in the garden, get out in nature and walk and exercise and talk to God. So it's such a blessing to see these accounts in the Bible in the spirit of prophecy of what happened in the Garden of Eden. So, amen. Thank you, Sister Leola. God bless.
Amen. 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 What a blessing. And I see what Sister Carla is talking about. What a blessing. She's planting all those fruit trees and all those lovely berries and vegetables. Oh my. God is glorified. So Sister Carla, I'm just thanking God for what I'm hearing here. And you see, Sister Tamika, you see what God is doing for us? How he brought you into a family that teaching us? Oh, what a love. You see, Sister Brenda began to pick up her herbs and her berries she eating. She changing the, and Brother John and changed something. Oh, blessing, brothers. We are blessed on this prayer line to be able to join and to hear this good news. So I'm going to continue to open the line, and I'm going to stop talking. But, oh, I'm so happy to hear these things, brothers and sisters. I'm grateful. So let us open the next line. Thank you so much, Sister Carla, for sharing that with us and giving God the glory and the praise. Thank you. Thank you so much. And that the sister is hearing what God is doing for each of us. So now we're going to open the line for Brother O'Neill. Brother O'Neill always brings us some special stuff. So let us open the line for Brother O'Neill. Amen. Brother O'Neill, your line, 631-522, your line is open. And you can just go ahead, Brother O'Neill, because I done praised your name already. Amen.
Praise be to the name of the Lord. Thank God for his love, his grace, and his mercy. Good night to each and everyone on the line. And I'm going to thank God for his blessing on the line and the amazing work that he has been doing for those who have been coming on the line. God is to be glorified because he's good. Yesterday, I went to this church in the Bronx, and I was going to one in Brooklyn, and the Church and Street Ministry, and I was getting ready to leave out, but before I got ready to leave out, I was saying to God, "Where I should go?" 2 weeks ago, and so I said, "Where should I go?" And he led me to that ministry, and I started going there with them, and I went yesterday again, and it's a blessing. And all the people are studying the Bible, really in-depth study of the Bible, and they're trying to make things simple, so simple that even a child can understand how they're doing the presentation of the Bible and how they're breaking down things. And everybody was able to interact. And they have an interactive Bible study where people can ask questions, not just one person doing a presentation and everyone just listening. People could ask questions on different things that they would want to know, and it was good, you know. So that's our way of teaching people, you know. And the presenter, he was saying that, "I don't know more than you guys, you know. I'm just here to learn as I'm about to teach," and that's how a teacher should be. A teacher should be one that is up to learn as well, you know, not just to teach, because somebody down there knows something that you might not know as well, and we are here to help each other. I want to share a quote from the book Temperance. It's a very important book that we should read. In the first chapter, it's second chapter, The Inception of Intemperance. And the inception of intemperance. To see together the fallen angel, intemperance 12.2 says, Satan gathered the fallen angels together to devise some way of doing the most possible evil to the human family. Position after another was made. Till finally, Satan himself thought of a plan. He would take the fruit of the vine, also wheat, and other things given by God as food, and will convert them into poisons. I'm going to read that over again. One position after another was made. until finally Satan himself thought of a plan that he would take the fruit of the vine, also wheat and other things given by God as food, and would convert them into poison, which would ruin man's physical, mental, and moral powers. So your physical, your mental, and your moral powers, it all has to do with your mind as well, because the mind affects the body, as inspiration tells us. He says, and also overcome the sense that Satan would have full control. Under the influence of liquor, man would be led to commit crimes of all kinds. Through perverted appetite, the world would be made corrupt, as back in the days of Noah, as the Bible has said to us. The Bible says that every imagination of the heart was evil continually. By leading men to drink alcohol, Satan would cause them to descend lower and lower in the scale. So as we see what is going on in this world, the indulgence of appetite, the same scheme that he started in Eden, Adam and Eve didn't need nothing. To food, they have so much luxury, but yet still you tempt them and they oblige, because he told them that the food will make them wise. And we see one of the points that I want to bring out here is that Satan has turned what God, the wheat, the fruit of the vine, and convert it into poison. So anything that without seed, because it damages the microbiome of the gut. And what is your second brain? Your gut. The life of the flesh is in the blood, Leviticus 17, verse 11. So whatever we put inside our body, the blood, it turns into blood. This is a making good blood or making bad blood, and bad circulation will cause so much harm to the human body. And majority of the diseases that is caused is because of the toxicity that is in the blood. So we have to analyze these things and know that if it's no seed in it, you can't have it. And majority of the wheat that is made now is GMO, genetically modified organism. And genetically organisms are not good. They are poison to the body. And they will benumb the mind. They will benumb the mind. We can't think clearly. We just got a message today, and then tomorrow we forget it. Because the mind has become lower. That's what he says. Satan will cause them to descend lower and lower in the scale. So the high elevation that God made, created man. In the beginning, he said everything was good. The ultimate goal of Satan is to destroy the human race. Thank you. Sister Leola, for now, while I keep praying that I stay true to God and allow nothing to. I'm finished. Thank you.
Amen. 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 Sister Leola, what happened?
Oh, I was on mute. I was on mute. Did Brother O'Neill say amen?
No, I say amen, but, because I heard you cook. I don't know if
you okay.
Cook.
You heard Brother O'Neill say it?
I don't know. I just hear like it cut, so I just call your name. I don't never hear
yes,
it.
Yes, I did.
Okay,
I
because.
Did. I
okay,
did.
Brother O'Neill. All right, amen. And Brother O'Neill, thank you for that information, bringing that information to us for the blood. And as we know, as we are learning these things, we want to care for our bodies as God has called for us to do about the laws of health. So thank you, Brother O'Neill, for bringing that information. You know, as always, someone, we all bring collectively and come together and be blessed of the Lord to share all this information. But now, brothers and sisters, we're going to go into prayer because Brother Eugene will be on at 7:15. He texts me, and I know he will be on time. So what Brother O'Neill bring to us is always information that we need to do study and keep seek and go check these things out for yourself because it is true. So we want to thank God for it. Amen. So now we're going to go into prayer. We have to go back to Sister Brenda because she didn't give her prayer. And Brother O'Neill, I didn't hear you say it, your prayer request.
Yeah, I'm just asking for prayer that God will keep me faithful and true and help me to hurry up and get out of the city life. I'm making preparation, but to speed up the process.
Amen. Amen. All right. Thank you. That. And then we're going to open the line for Sister Brenda. Sister Brenda, if you can just share, just give us, just give your prayer request because we need to go into prayer because the brother will be on. Amen. You got a prayer request, Sister Brenda?
Sister Brenda from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for us being on the prayer line today and ask for prayer for my family, Advent Light, and my our nephew that's in New Orleans Hospital, the White Morton, and just keep all of us in prayer. We pray one for another. I'm going to let Brother John speak. Amen.
Yes, it's Brother John from Louisiana. And, thank God, too, for this blessed day. Hope everyone on the prayer line is having a blessed day today. And I'm just feeling thankful as well and thinking about my many blessings that the Lord have that the Lord continue to give us, and just in kind of planning days, doing some of the different, kind of like instead of when the day come, when the morning come, I just do anything, take off, or I don't know, do different things, but I like to think of it the night before what I'm going to do, kind of plan my days ahead of time, sometime a whole week ahead, you know, exercise, help, you know, clean around the house, and just do different things. I kind of like planning my days, feel like I'm in control of my days, you know, that way I plan it a day ahead, kind of like I am in a sense in control of it by planning it. So I ask for Lord, I pray for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that he has pretty much, you know, he gave me from where I was at one time. I know that my what I pray for the knowledge, wisdom, and understanding, I know that God has given a lot of it to me, and I continue to grow in it, in his word and in the being wiser and things like that. And just, like I said, always mention I share the word because that's what I want to do in my life. The more I learn, the more I want to share. So God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Brother John and Sister Brenda. We're going to Sister Powell will be lifting up prayers, but we're going to have Sister Tamika. We're going to open her line. She's going to give her a short prayer request, and then she's going to sing a song before Sister Powell go into prayer. And Brother Eugene will be on. He's already on, so we told him 7:15. So we have to open his line. So let us open Sister Tamika line. Sister Tamika, you can give your request, and then you can give the song so Sister Power will go into prayer. Amen?
Amen. Thank you for opening my line, Sister Leola. My prayer request is for all my brothers and sisters here tonight on the prayer line. And I would like to also lift up my children and my grandchildren on the prayer line as well. prayer for my mom, prayer for Sister Elizabeth, and for everyone on the prayer line. Thank you so much. God bless. Amen. And I have a song to sing. Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory, great things he has done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son, who yielded his life and atonement for sin, and opened the life gates that all may go in. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father, through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Oh, perfect redemption, the purchase of blood, to every believer, the promise of God, the dearest offender, who truly believes that moment from Jesus a pardon receives. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory, great things he has done. Great things he has told us, great things he has done, and great are rejoices through Jesus the Son. The pearl and higher and greater will be our wonder, our transport when Jesus we see. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear his voice. The Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice. Oh, come to the Father through Jesus the Son, and give him the glory. Great things he has done.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen, amen. Sister Leola, amen.
Sorry, Sister Powell, you're right. I was on mute. Brothers and sisters, I'm sorry. The Brother Eugene is on to bring the word, so we must go right into prayers. Sister Powell, Brother Eli just joined us. So I'm asking that you please lift him up in prayer, lift up Sister Katie. Oh. I text Sister Katie to join us and some others, Brother Richardson and all the others. May you lift them up in prayer and all the others that had requests also, and Brother Eugene. Amen. Thank you, Sister Powell.
Amen. Amen. Yes, brothers and sisters, now is the time. Our dear speakers on the line, now is the time you can bow and please to lift them up. Our brothers and sisters, too, I will go in prayer. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is he, the man that feareth the Lord, that delight greatly in his commandment. Heavenly Father, we come to praise you this moment. We want to thank you for your blessings, Lord, and your mercies that endureth forever. We come this moment boldly at the throne to ask you forgiveness of all our many sins and shortcomings. We come to you this moment, dear Lord, to understand clearly about your words and your truth. We want to thank you for the privilege of prayer and also the privilege and opportunity that we can join at this welcome table, Lord, to fellowship with you. Lord, you have heard all the various requests from our dear beloved brothers and sisters, dear Lord. You know them by name. Thank you, Lord, for these reports, Lord, that you have given unto your servants so that they can share with us. So we present them to you, Lord. We give you the praise, Lord, for dear beloved brother John. Lord, he is working and be obedient to your will in carrying out your work. And also, her is dear beloved wife, Sister Brenda. Continue to pour your blessings upon them and their family as they lift up this line and also family members to you. We ask you to keep, guide, and protect them as they study your word, Lord. Search your scripture diligently and get to understand your word. They are able to share, Lord Jesus, and be obedient to your command. So we want to thank you. We also thank you, Lord, for the report, Lord Jesus, that our dear sister and the testimony that she brought to the table tonight, how she became a Seventh-day Adventist. Lord, thank you for Sister Elizabeth, who lead her, Lord, to the full. And dear Father, she's still settling in the truth. Thank you for the truth that you have given unto us, Lord. As we have read, Lord, that there are many precious truths in the word, but the truth that the people need now is present truth, Lord, for this time. So we thank you, and we are asking you to allow us that we will share this truth to the dying world. We also lift up the request of our dear brother Eli. Lord, he joined as a young man. We thank you for what you have been doing through him while I'm witnessing to others and to tell his friends, Lord, that Jesus loved them. Lord, bless Brother Eli, his mother, Joari, and all his friends, Lord. We also lift up Sister Tamiko, friends and family, brother and sisters, their children, and also the prayer line. Sister Carla, Lord, children, family, and friend, Lord, we lift up, Lord. There are so many names. Brother O'Neill, who prays, Lord, and bring that wonderful information, dear Lord, of the study, various study that he has been doing at this time, dear Lord, and how, Lord, he has been blessed, Lord. We pray for him. Give him the strength, the courage, and also pour your blessings upon him. We also lift up our dear beloved brother Eugene as he on the line, Lord. We thank you for his faithfulness, Lord. And now we ask you to pour your blessings upon brother Eugene as he present the word today, Lord. Allow us that we will attentively listen, dear Lord, and not just only listen to the message. We will be doers, Lord, to carry out what we have been taught and learned, Lord, that we will share with others. Pour your blessings upon every one of us, Lord. All the names, you know them, Sister Stephanie and her family, Lord, myself and my family, Brother Elder Richardson and his family, Sister Nelda and her family, Lord, Brother John and Sister Brenda, and all the family on this line, Brother Udi and his family, we present, Lord, them to you. Brother Rick and his family, we present them to you. You are so good. And also we lift up the children. Bless us and keep us, Lord. We are thankful the way in which you have been guiding us, Lord. Bless us, pour your blessings upon each heart, and help us that we will be filled this evening with the sweet, holy, holy spirit, Lord, that we will be changed. When we leave this place, we will not be the same. We will be changed in the likeness of you. Pour your blessings again, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And Brother Eugene, welcome to Advent Light Ministry again. And brothers and sisters, our speaker will be Eugene, and he will bring the message this evening, though his line will be open.
Amen. Amen.
Just say.
Okay, Brother Eugene, your line is open. Amen.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it. I want to say thank you again this evening for Sister Powell for prayer. Also, too, want to say thank you, Sister Loyola, for the extended invitation. And for all of you who are tuning in this evening, want to say God bless, and I pray that you had a blessed Sabbath and a blessed weekend. And this evening, I want to share with you a message that is very dear to my heart. I've been contemplating, and I pray that it will be a blessing to you. So without further ado, I want to open up with a word of prayer. So let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we want to say thank you again for this evening. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to study your word. And Father, allow us to see the seriousness of these times that we're living in. And also help us to value something that is greatly needed in this world today. And Lord, that is a revelation of the character of your love. Be with us as we open the word and we study through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who can only save us. Amen. So this evening, I want us to study and look into the topic entitled, The Times of Refreshing. The Times of Refreshing. The Bible says very clearly in the book of Acts chapter 3, the Apostle Peter, there with John, on the day of Pentecost, and the Bible says very clearly that when Peter stood up to give the message concerning Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the people heard the message, and the Bible said that Peter made mention of an event that is going to transpire in the distant future from the time he gave the message. And that is in chapter 3, verse 19 of Acts. Acts chapter 3, verse 19, and the Bible says, in response to the appeal, the people heard the message when Peter said, repent ye therefore and be converted. Why? That your sins may be blotted out. Let's stop right there. In order for our sins to be blotted out, according to the Apostle Peter, we must first repent and experience conversion. Let's continue. He says, repent therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So the Bible tells us very clearly that there is going to be a times of refreshing that is coming directly from the Lord himself. And I also want to remind you that whenever you see the word Lord in the New Testament, specifically the New Testament, the word Lord predominantly is always referring to Jesus. The New Testament writers are very clear about that. Now, when you go to the Old Testament, it doesn't apply to Christ. It can apply to the Father too as well. But specifically in the New Testament, whenever they use the reference Lord, it's always in connection with Jesus. But notice what verse 20 says, and he shall send Jesus Christ, that he is the Father, which was before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began. Now the question is asked, what will happen after your sins have been blotted out? The Bible says in verse 20 of Acts chapter 3, he shall send Jesus Christ. In other words, the Father is going to send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. So the reason why Jesus has not come back, the reason why the Father did not give Jesus to crack through the clouds of glory to receive us into his kingdom is because our sins are not blotted out. Specifically the living. Now, we know, and I'm sure many on the line are aware of, since 1844, October 22nd, the blotting out of sins have been taking place concerning the righteous dead. However, the time is going to come when the blotting out of sins will be complete. That ministration will come to an end. And when it comes to an end, the Bible says that's when he will send Jesus Christ. That's why Mark, notice what the Bible says in Mark chapter 13. The Bible is very clear in Mark 13, verse 32. This is why Jesus says, but of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. Because the Father is going to give the signal of when Jesus will come. So it makes sense why Jesus has not come. But the question is asked, what are the conditions for Jesus to be sent by God? And notice verse 21, the Bible says, reading Acts chapter 3, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. In most translations, like the NLT, right, it says, for he must remain in heaven until the time of the final restoration of all things, as God has long ago through his holy prophets. And that's what the actual meaning, the word restitution in King James, actually restoration. So Jesus is going to remain where he is until the work of the final restoration. What restoration is the Bible really referring to specifically? I want to read a statement taken from a very old Adventist pioneer. His name is E.J. Wagner. And Elliot Joseph Wagner wrote a specific article, right? And a book he wrote entitled The Everlasting Covenant. And in this book, he says this very clearly on page 511. And I'm going to read for you. And he says, God cannot send Jesus Christ until the time of restitution or restoration of all things take place. The apostle realized the importance of the antitypical Day of Atonement, the final gathering of God's people, and their establishment in the earth restored has been the theme of the prophets ever since the fall. And as necessary consequence, they have all borne witness that all who believe in Christ shall receive remission of sins, since it is only through the remission of sins that the gathering and restoration takes place. And that is from E.J. Wagner, his book entitled The Everlasting Covenant, published in 1900. So in other words, when the day of atonement, or the antitypical Day of Atonement, when the work of Jesus in the heavenly sanctuary is completed, as the Apostle John says in Revelation chapter 10, reading from verse 7, but in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he have declared to his servants, the prophets. The mystery of God is what God is trying to complete. The mystery of God in Colossians chapter 1, the Bible says this very clearly. Colossians chapter 1, reading from verse 26, it reads, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the Bible is telling us that when this mystery is completed, when this restoration, this institution of all things is done by the work of Christ, in the heavenly sanctuary, that's when Jesus Christ will be sent by God to receive us. That's the second coming. So it makes sense why Jesus hasn't come back. Because the work of restitution in the sanctuary, the blotting out of sins, has not come to an end. So now I want us to go a little further, because the Bible tells us also that when the blotting out of sins takes place, there must first be a work of repentance amongst God's people. I want us to look at this, and let's open our Bibles, and let's now turn to the book of Ezekiel. Let's go to the book of Ezekiel chapter 14. The book of Ezekiel chapter 14, starting in verse 6, the Bible says, and we'll read verse 7, Ezekiel 14, verse 6 and 7, the Bible says, this is God speaking to Ezekiel, saying, therefore say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel or of the stranger that sojourn in Israel, in other words, anyone that is a non-believer that is among us, whether they're in our homes or who are visiting in our churches or our facilities or institutions, God is saying they must turn, and it continues, which separates himself from me and set up an idol in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet to inquire of him concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. So the reason why we have to repent according to God is because we have separated ourselves from God. In fact, we have had the idols residing in our hearts instead of the Holy Spirit abiding there. So it is the heart that God has a controversy with the sinner. It is the heart where idols are erected. There are, you know, we think of the cathedral in the Vatican, all the imageries of the gods of Jupiter, Venus, Mars, yeah, as well as Pluto, and, you know, they name them the apostles and the saints, but those are really pagan gods. My friends, there are Christians who has pagan gods in their hearts. Some of them could be sports. Some of them can be ungodly relationships. Or some may be gossip or backbiting, malice or hatred. Some of them can also involve even the areas of brokenness, like low self-esteem. When the Word of God says that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and you don't believe the promises, you are in the condition of brokenness, my friend. Where you don't believe that you can do all things through Jesus Christ who strengthens you, and you believe the lies, what people say, and you look at yourself instead of looking to Christ, that's a sign of brokenness. You have set yourself as an idol. You have continually behold your past history instead of looking at what God can see who you are in the future, because God, he's more than willing to save you. He loves you. But you have to believe that when you are a new creature, you have to live by that promise. Every time we backslide from that promise, we are basically putting Jesus Christ to open shame. We have believed the lies of the devil about us. You see, one of the most terrible things that we can do to Jesus is to believe that the cross was not enough to save my brokenness. That's what we do. So these are, and there's many other things that we can talk about in regards to the condition, the degradation of the heart. The heart is what God is trying to fix. I use the word trying because God can do it. The problem is we resist the Holy Spirit. We resist the work of God. And God is going to do his best, but he can't force the will. We push him away. God will never push you away. It continues. And I want to read a statement taken from a wonderful book. It's a book entitled Testimonies for the Church. And in Testimonies for the Church, Volume 5, written by Ellen G. White, it says very clearly, and on page 231, it reads, Volume 5 of Testimonies for the Church, page 231, it says this, a union with Christ by living faith is enduring, and every other union must perish. Christ first chose us, paying an infinite price for our redemption, and the true believer chooses Christ as first, last, and best in everything. But this union costs us something. It is a union of utter dependence to be entered in by a proud being. All who form this union must feel their need of the atoning blood of Christ. They must have a change of heart. They must submit their own will to the will of God. There will be a struggle with outward and internal obstacles. There must be a painful work of detachment as well as a work of attachment. Pride, selfishness, vanity, worldliness, sin in all its forms must be overcome if we would enter into a union with Christ. The reason why many Christians find life so deplorably hard, why they are so fickle, so variable, is that they try to attach themselves to Christ without first detaching themselves from these cherished idols. Have mercy. The reason why many people find Christianity difficult is because they are still holding on to things they don't want to let go. It can be relationships. It can also be you not being faithful in paying your tithes. It can also involve you having fear. You know, fear is an idol. Oh, yes. Because what fear basically is that you believe that you're not good enough to do what God wants you to do. Fear of witnessing. You know, when you're afraid to witness, that's also a sense of pride because you're afraid of rejection. You're afraid of people saying things to you you don't want to hear. My friends, we witness for Jesus. We witness because we love souls. But if you're afraid to witness for Jesus, what you're really saying is that you're not worthy. Or in other words, your value in witnessing is you don't have to waste your time witnessing, basically. Basically that you feel that you should be in a field where everyone would say yes, yes to you. You're afraid to hear the no's. My friends, I have to tell you something. That's pride. Because pride does not want to hear counsel. Pride wants to hear counsel that is basically going to foster your agenda. But when someone crushes your ego, when someone hits your pride and you feel offended and you don't want to change, my friends, there's a problem there. You see, Jesus Christ, when he counseled us to go and do witnessing, there's no high expectation of success. The only success that we should have is a faith that trusts in his word. even if it means to experience hard trials. And guess what? When we witness, my friends, it doesn't mean you're going to get that you want. Our job is to plant seeds, and we leave the rest to God. But if we have fear, it's an idol, my friends, it's going to prevent us from having the full experience of the mystery of God, of what he wants to do in us. But let me continue because time is running out. So with that in mind, according to Ezekiel chapter 14, when the Bible is counseling us to repent, when God is telling us to let go of these cherished idols, they're hindering you from experiencing the conversion that would lead for you to have your sins blotted out. Because when the times of refreshing comes, God wants to make sure that you will be ready. And I want us to analyze this times of refreshing when Peter used that phrase, times of refreshing. When you go to Acts chapter 3, verse 19, times of refreshing, the word times there is the Greek word kos. It's the Greek word karikos, which means a season, a proper time, a set time or season. So in other words, in the seasons of refreshing or at the set time of refreshing, there is a season where God is going to blot sins out. But not only that, Peter says refreshing. The word refreshing in the Greek, right, is anapsokis. Anapsokis, which is revival. The word means revival in the Greek. So in other words, in the seasons of revival, or the proper set time of revival, God is going to blot out sin. So therefore, Peter says in the distant future, and keep this in mind, when the Holy Spirit poured out in the days of the apostles, there was a great revival. Peter says that in the near future, there is going to be a great revival. And this revival is going to be greater than what you're seeing today, because it's also going to involve Jesus Christ blotting our sins out of the sanctuary. You know what's amazing? Because in the Bible tells us when the seasons of revival will take place and what will be the results of that. Let's go to the book of Hosea, chapter 6. The book of Hosea, chapter 6, right next to Daniel. In the book of Hosea, chapter 6, notice what the Bible says starting in verse 1. Hosea, chapter 6, and verse 1, the Bible says, right, what will happen during the seasons of revival? It reads, come, let us return unto the Lord. In other words, let's repent. Turn. That's what repentance means, to turn, right? Let us come and let us return unto the Lord. For he hath torn and he will heal us. He hath smitten and he will bind us up. And notice verse 2. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up and we shall live in his sight. That word revive there is the same word revival. It has the same definition. This is the Hebrew, right? The one we saw refreshing is the Greek that Peter used. Peter used the same word revival, and it's translated as refreshing. But here in the Hebrew, in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 2, Hosea says that God will revive us. In other words, we're going to have a revival. And notice what's going to happen after we have repented and turned to the Lord, after God has healed us. You know what's going to happen? When we experience true healing, we're going to experience a powerful revival. And we will live in his sight. And then verse 3 says, then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord, His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. So what the Bible is telling us is that in the seasons of revival is when the latter rain will come to us from the presence of the Lord. That's what Peter is saying. So the blotting out of sins, the end, when Jesus ends that work in the heavenly sanctuary, he will send the times of refreshing. That season of revival is going to bring forth the outpouring of the latter rain. And the Bible says in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 3, it's going to be like a going forth as prepared as the morning. What happens? What is the meaning by that? That his going forth is prepared as the morning. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 58. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 58. Notice what the Bible says here. Isaiah chapter 58, reading from verse 8. Isaiah 58 and verse 8. The Bible says this. What does it mean by this going forth as a morning? The Bible says, Isaiah 58, verse 8, then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy health spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. So the Bible says when our experience is like the morning, it's like the sun rising, and all of a sudden, light penetrates in every area across the globe. That is the experience that God's people is going to have. The influence is going to go throughout the entire globe. It's like a light breaking forth as the morning. Notice Isaiah chapter 60. Isaiah chapter 60. Notice what the Bible says here. Isaiah chapter 60, reading from verses 1. The Bible says, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles, unbelievers, shall come to thy light, and the kings to the brightness of thy glory. Even the leaders of this world, not only in government, but also in other sectors like in business, etc. They'll come to the light, to the truth. And this is the experience. This is the picture that the Bible is giving us in Revelation chapters 18. Starting in verse 1, the Bible says that after these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. That's the latter rain. That's the latter rain. When the earth is filled with darkness, the day is going to come before Jesus comes back that this entire planet is going to be filled with darkness. And the Bible tells us very clear what happens when the earth is filled with darkness. In Psalms 107, the Bible says this very clearly. In Psalms 107, the Bible says, starting in verse 10, Psalms 107 and verse 10, the Bible says this very clearly, that for such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they have rebelled against the words of the Lord and have contemned the counsel of the Most High. That's what happens when people sit in darkness. There is a great rebellion, or I may say a great universal apostasy that's going to happen in the near future. When this universal apostasy will lead to national ruin, the Bible says that God is going to have to send light and power to liberate people under the conditions of being held down by the chains of darkness. Because in verse 2 in Revelation 18, it says, he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hole of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. That is the condition of what's in Babylon. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. Both the government leaders, the corporations, business, are in an unholy alliance with Mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth. Revelation 17, verse 5. And that woman who reigns over the kings of the earth is that great city, Babylon. Revelation 17, verse 18. That is the papacy, very clearly. And the Bible says in verse 4, I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, that you receive not of her plagues. Why? Why, God? For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. She has led the world in apostasy. She has led the world in darkness. So God is going to give people a final warning to get out, because a wrath is come. Get out before I pour out the plagues. God's last message of mercy is going to be given to the world by his people when they give the message of the latter rain. Specifically, I have to say this, when people are under the conditions of tyranny, government tyranny, under a global governance, when they see restrictions like never before, they cry out, where is God? God will now send his people to give a message of love, not a message saying that he will punish those who have kept Sunday as a day of rest. A message showing that God is not a God who forces people's wills, a God who respects freedom of choice, freedom of conscience, a God who never intended this world to be where it will be in a distant future, a world that God promised where there will be no suffering and pain, a world where we will worship God in freedom under the truth concerning the Sabbath. They will see the message of the cross. The cross will liberate people from the bondage of sin. And I pray, friends, that God's amazing grace, as I close here, in the book Maranatha, page 179, Maranatha, page 179, the Apostle John writes this statement. The prophet says, I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that you be not partakers of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins has reached to heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Now notice what it says next. Notice what she says, right? When do her sins reach to heaven? When the law of God is finally made void by legislation. Then the extremity of God's people is his opportunity to show who is the governor of heaven and earth. As a satanic power is stirring up the elements from beneath, God will send light and power to his people that the message of truth may be proclaimed to all the world. So the reason why God is going to send light and power to his people is because the sins of Babylon has reached to heaven and God has remembered her iniquities. At that time, according to the statement, is when the law of God is finally made void by legislation. What does it mean by the law of God is made void by legislation? In another book, Last Day Events, page 133, Last Day Events, page 133, paragraph 5, it reads, when our nation, the United States, and its legislative councils shall enact laws to bind the consciences of men in regards to their religious privileges, enforcing Sunday observance, and bringing oppressive power to bear against those who keep the seven-day Sabbath, the law of God will, to all intents and purposes, be made void in our land, and national apostasy will be followed by national ruin. So it is by legislation of the enforcement of Sunday that will lead to the sins of Babylon reaching to heaven. Then God will send light and power to his people. And I close with this appeal. My friends, the only qualification for you and I to be among those who will be giving light and power to the world is if we repent and be converted. Repentance is the foundation of every converted person. Because without a genuine repentance, we will never experience true conversion, and our sins will never be blotted out in the sanctuary of God. And as a result, God can't give you his Holy Spirit, period. If we hold on to unforgiveness, if we talk down upon this pastor, this ministry, this conference, etc., we backbite about what people did to us 10 years ago. We hold on to grudges, a lot of gossip, all the craziness that's going on. If we continue to harbor these things, God has no right to give you his Spirit. It is only those who look like Jesus. It is a privilege to receive the Holy Spirit. Let us pray, shall we? My Father in heaven, I want to say, Lord, thank you again for allowing us just to see just a little glimpse of this study this evening. I pray, Father, that we can take salvation seriously. I pray that we can literally come to the point of deep conversion, to get rid of the idols that has held us back. Give us a heart to love souls. Help us to exemplify the words that your son said, to love our enemies, to bless those that curse us, do good to those that hate us, and pray for those that despitefully use us and persecute us. Because if we have not come to this point, Lord, you have no right to bless us. And Lord, I pray you can help us because we really want to be among those who will be faithful. We really want to see your face. We really want to be there among those who will live to see your son, Jesus. Help us. The struggle is real. And we believe and accept that you will do what you have promised. And truly, if we confess our sins, you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us, sanitize us. Lord, give us the detergent of the blood of Jesus to wipe the stains of sins of our lives. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, our brother Eugene. The message has well been spoken. And I had a scripture. I believe it's Paul speaks about it. How can we hear unless we have a preacher or a minister. I don't know where that scripture. Mm. It's too many scriptures in my head. You know where that's at?
Yeah, it's in Romans chapter 10, starting
brother. Brother, I have to read that to my sisters and brothers. Romans chapter 10. And 10 this is the message. Say that again.
Chapter 10, verse 14.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
10, verse 14.
Romans.
Let me read that, if you don't mind, brothers and sisters.
Sure.
I'm reading from Romans chapter 10 and verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? You're talking about Jesus. Is that right? How can we call upon him who we don't believe? That's Christ, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that right, brother? Okay.
Yep.
And how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? So, brother is speaking the word. So he's speaking on Christ, and he's preaching. And he said, the Bible teaches us, how can we call on him who we not believe in? So you got to teach, you got to bring that word for us to understand and to believe and to get it. And it says, and how can they believe in him who they have not heard? And the next one said, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And 15, and they say, how shall they preach except they be sent? So, and it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who had believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, my brother, I am reading that word. Preach the gospel as you have preached tonight. We thank you for bringing it to the prayer line. And, you know, we can tell people about the Sunday law. We can tell people about coming to Jesus. But let me tell you something. You broke it down a little bit plainer to us. And we would love to invite you back again, please. As Sister Power had mentioned earlier, this is what we are interested in on this prayer line, present truth. And the present truth, as she named the thing, the state of the dead, the three angels' message, the second coming of Jesus Christ, the heavenly sanctuary, the national Sunday law. And I had another one, I didn't finish writing, the gospel, the eternal gospel. So these are things, and we heard the gospel tonight. So we want to thank you, my brother, for bringing us the gospel. So God bless you and keep you as you continue to share this gospel with us. And brothers and sisters, I want to share. And with my brothers and sisters, we thank you for coming on and listening to this, because God see all of us, and his love is shown in us to be able to give us this tonight. So we are blessed tonight, sisters and brothers, for Brother Eugene to bring it to us so plainly. And if anybody have any question, please call Sister Leola, Sister Powell, or Sister Carla, and we will get somebody in touch so you can understand this message. So please, please do not leave, if you have any question, don't just say you think you understand, but let somebody help you. And we thank you, and we want to thank you so much for coming on tonight. So I want to just close out in a little prayer. May God bless us, and as these words fell on the ears of the brothers and sisters, I'm going to ask the Lord to help us to understand. Our Father, which art in heaven, Lord, we come to you once again, Father, as Brother Eugene has brought a message to us. Lord, Father, even, Lord, don't let me be a castaway hosting the line, listening to the message, telling others and hosting and not adhering to your word, Father. I pray, dear Lord, that these messages that fell on my ear, Lord, help all of us to be obedient. Help us, Lord, because this Sunday, Lord, is going to be a test to us. And, Lord, and those that stand firm now, Lord, Father, we're going to know. And Lord, we just ask you to give us that strength and bless us to keep your word and help us, Lord, because nothing that we can do to do, just like they say, we can't keep your commandments without you, but through you, Father, we can keep your commandments because you have given us a test of faith, your love that you laid down on Calvary. So, Father, thank you, and we just praise your holy name. Bless each and everyone on the prayer line. Give them a sweet and a peaceful sleep. And, Lord, as we come back on Thursday night to get our health message, Lord, as we leave this prayer line, Lord, as we are absent for one another, we just ask you to keep us and be with us throughout the week. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Thank you, sisters and brothers, coming on and hearing the word of God. God bless you and keep you. And may everyone have a good night. Amen.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed through his infinite mercy, his child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, his child and forever I am. Redeemed and so having Jesus, no language my rapture can tell. I know
Thank you.